few points carrying on about yesterday's talk, that is with regard to clothing. One of our friends asked about the waistcoat, if that also can be discussed. The waistcoat also is not sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But here, if we can remember one very important principle, it will help us tremendously. On one occasion, Haji Farooq Saab rahmatullah alayhi, when he had aged, his body was heavy also, he had difficulty walking with pains in his leg, etc. So he asked his Shaykh Hadraji, Hadrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Saab rahmatullah alayhi, his murids are insisting that he should use a wheelchair. So he says he got permission to use a wheelchair. So Hadraji asked him, what is a wheelchair? This was very long ago. Then he explained what a wheelchair was. So Hadraji said, I'll think of it, I'll tell you. The next day when he met him, he told him, it's the same thing what Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali uses, isn't it? Hazrat was also using a wheelchair. He said, yes, it's the same thing. He said, by all means, when Hazrat Shaykh is using it, then use it. So if we make our akabir, our example, life becomes very, very, those who our hearts are convinced, these are Allah wada. And they have got knowledge also. Our ulama, as we mentioned, alhamdulillah, our akabir, the combination of ilm and ihsan and tasawwuf also. So if we look at our elders, so we say our elders wore the waistcoat, no problem, wear it also. They also wore it, no problem, wear it. So that is one thing. The other thing is with regard to the lungi, we didn't discuss that. The trouser, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preferred the trouser. The narrations are different. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that he liked it when he saw it and I will wear it. Whether Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore it or not, it's not so proven absolutely. But Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked it because there is more satr in there. And with regard to the lungi, that is the sunnah, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore it his whole life. So they are also very important. Again, another very important principle. This side is sunnat, but if a person doesn't know how to wear it, then and his sitter opens up, then that is haram. So where there is a clash between sunnat and haram, then forgo the sunnat, save yourself from the haram. Just like to kiss the Hajar-e-Aswad, it is a talk of great merit, lot of reward, and a great thing to do. But if you are going to cause Izai Muslim, harm to other Muslims, and if you are going to mix and rub with women trying to do that, there are a lot of women also, then that is all totally haram. One friend of mine himself, an alim, says he tried to go and kiss Hajar Aswad, but the way the rush is there, his hands fell right on the breast of a woman. And now right in front of Hajar Aswad, where you want to go and do a good deed, and there this haram happens there, though it's unintentional, but still the effect of it will remain with it. And to go into it knowing there is a possibility, that is also haram. The muqaddama of a haram is also haram. When there is a great possibility, and there are so many women, so many men, all are trying, rushing to kiss the Hajar-e-Aswad. So the same thing applies here. So for example, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, if you want to make amal in a madrasa environment, students, if you want to make amal on the sunnat of the lungi, wear it during the day. Because in the day you can look after it at night without you knowing, the whole lungi comes up. And there are all students around you and others who are awake. And then, so that is a big haram there. So therefore, avoid it. But if a person has got the practice of it, like Bengali people, Maulana Abdullah and them, then no problem. Maulana Hurmuzullah, rahmatullah alayh, was a very pious, very old and very pious alim. He came here in Jamaat from Bangladesh. He passed away, over 100 years he passed away. And when he came, the people who traveled with him, they say that he did not even see 1/3 of our country. Forget the building or anything. All the time his gazes, the minute he sits in the Quran Sharif, in the car, Quran Sharif, and he starts reading all the time. Never did he waste a moment also, and this I saw of our other akabir also. Once we were, when Hadraji Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali came, and the last program they had was in Newtown. And then a few ladies wanted to become bayat, so they went to one house. So it was Hadraji, مولانا محمد عمر پالنپوری رحمۃ اللہ علیہ نے بیک سیٹ, آئی واز سٹنگ وتھ ہم اینڈ دا ڈرائیور, اونلی دا فور آف اس. دا منٹ وی سیٹ ان دا کار فرام نیو ٹاؤن مسجد, اٹ واز ویری نیئر, ہارڈلی ٹو منٹس ڈرائیو, لیس دین دیٹ آلسو, بٹ امیڈیٹلی مولانا محمد عمر صاحب ٹوک آؤٹ معارف القرآن, اسٹارٹڈ ٹو ٹیچ مطالعہ اینڈ قرآن شریف آلسو. مولانا محمد عمر صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ, ون وے یو شوڈ ریڈ قرآن شریف. So this was the life of our Kabir. Even that short little while, they didn't look around this side and that side and ask about this or anything. Immediately the Quran Sharif. So anyway, Maulana Hormuzullah gave a bayan in our Jami Masjid. And he was a very active person and did lot of acting. His bayans were very good, but he should do acting also in his bayan. But with all that acting, what is lungi, not one but any possibility that the sitter will open. No, he's sitting on the mimbar and he's making bayan and he was active person. And he should do acting also, but not one but. So if that is the case of a person, wear the lungi. But if you cannot look after it, then rather don't wear it. To your sitter to be open, that is haram, a total haram. In that case, don't wear the lungi. So remember the principles also. So though a lungi is sunnat, but if there is a possibility of haram, and this is of the sitter opening, then leave it out. If you wear the amama, for example, and there is a possibility of pride, which is a more greater haram than the sitter opening also, then rather give it up. But if you feel satisfied that you are not, no pride will come, and you are not doing it to impress anyone, or you feel very smart and very nice about it, you are doing it for the sunnah, then by all means do it. Now we'll just try and summarize a little bit our talks from the beginning for most of the brothers who were not here. It is of course impossible to say everything what we said in 20 days in a few minutes, but then too, the first was the importance of this month, what is the purpose of this month of Ramadan. That is, Allah Ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, Allah addressed the believers. In there, what a great honor for each one of us, because that addresses to us. In other words, Allah has acknowledged our iman. When I completed my studies in Dioban, I went specially to Jalalabad to meet Hadraji to take his duas, nasihat, which is a common practice of the students. And the akhlaq of Hadraji impressed me very greatly in that meeting. That we used to go before that also to Jalalabad. Anyway, met Hadraji, he gave me advices. And then though he was of advanced age at that time already, and me just a student who had graduated, we were nothing, but he walked with me right till the road. That impressed me tremendously. What akhlaq, how much of consideration. The last words I told Hadraji, that I'm afraid I'm going back now to South Africa. Yeah, it was as though we were in the four walls of the Darul Uloom. Our iman was protected, but now we're going out in the world. So our iman, I requested dua that Allah must keep our iman intact. Hadraji said that when Allah has given you iman, a gift it is from Allah Ta'ala, a royal gift. Allah. And Allah is not that being that what He gave you, He'll take it back again. Allah won't take your iman back again. So a gift which is, if we also, a person has got reasonable akhlaq, and you gave something to somebody, and then afterwards you have an argument with that person, or you realize you gave him too much, you won't take it back again. I gave it, now it's finished, it's given. So Allah Ta'ala, when He has given, so that is what Hadraji Rahmatullah Ali said. So when Allah, yeah, in this ayat has acknowledged our iman, that Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, Allah said you are people of iman. What a great honor. But again, this iman which Allah is referred to is a very basic iman. Now Allah is offering us in this ayat, like in other ayat also, that same iman, now I'm offering you to develop it to a very high level. To a very high level. And the ideal occasion is the month of Ramadan. That in this month now you develop your iman, and the method of doing it in this month is kutiba alaykum as-siyam. It is that you keep rozas in this month. And what will you get on that? La'allakum tattaqoon. That is the purpose of the month of Ramadan. To acquire taqwa. And on taqwa, Allah Ta'ala says, in awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. The only friends of Allah, now this is the high friends, the close friends, which in technology is called awliya. Like for example, many of us, with our friends, our Haji Sahib is here, students get sick, he makes some mixture of medicines and everything, and they all get better. And they call him doctor also, but that means he's not a doctor. But the basics, so in our house, we do house remedies. Now that doesn't mean you're a doctor, but you know about medicine. You know my head is sore, I must take Panado. I got a cut, I'll put a plaster, I'll use Zambac, etc. Simple things, everyone. So you know something of medicine, but you're not a doctor. When you say somebody is a doctor, you mean a person who you understand is a doctor. So the first who Allah said of Iman is at that basic level. That Iman of that level. And now what Allah is saying, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, and that the word لَعَلَّ in Arabic means perhaps, possibly. But in the terminology of the Quran, it means definitely. That definitely you will acquire taqwa. And if you have got taqwa, that means you have become, you have got taqwa, and Allah says, the walis, they are the people, the people of taqwa are the people who are the walis of Allah Ta'ala. So this Allah is offered, that Allah wants to give us that special friendship to become the awliya. What we are reading in Maut Ki Yaad at night, in that all, that for the people of Iman and the awliya, they won't have any fear at the time of death also. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, Allah Ta'ala is not that friend that will let you down at the time of death. That shaitan will come and attack you, and now Allah will leave you alone. When you are the friend of Allah, how will Allah leave you? A friend, he helps you. A friend in need is a friend indeed. At that time, wallah, a person will see how easy his life, the awliya. They'll have no fear at that time. And so many stories we read that they are eager, they are waiting for death. And they enjoy death. Al-maut, jasrun, yusalul habib ila al-habib. Maut is a bridge that joins the lover to his beloved. And all that pain, for example, of malakul maut coming, of Munkar Nakir coming, the qabr pressing you. This the ulama have explained, the qabr pressing, for example, and on that understand the other things also. Like, for example, you have come back from your hajj, and your wife, if she's a nice, big-built woman, and she presses you, you won't tell your wife that, hey, what are you doing? You are crushing my bones. You'll say, press more harder. That is how you'll enjoy. One person was sleeping, and his wife was also a big-built woman. So he woke up middle of the night and he asked the begum, wife, ghut ghut ke marna achcha hai ya ekdam se mar jana? Is it better to suffer and die or just die one shot? So she thought little bit, she said, why must you suffer and die? You rather die one shot is better. Then he said, put your other leg also on me. By the one leg, the way he was suffering, so he said, put your other leg, I'll die one shot and the whole story will be over. So anyway, if you have a wife like that and she presses you, you won't say that, what are you doing? You'll say, press me more harder. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, in Jannat, if the Hurul Een comes and sit on in your lap, you won't say, hey, my legs are breaking, my bones are breaking. Get up now, it's enough. You'll say, sit more longer. So like that, the qabr's pressing will be that enjoyment. Allah. And a person will enjoy it like that. And like that, everything else. So to become that awliya, that you have no problem in this world also, in the akhirat also, of many prescriptions, and this is Allah's mihrbani. He didn't just give us one prescription, one He gave us for Ramzan. Like that He has given us plenty in the Quran Sharif. So Allah said, keep rozas. So yeah, what is important to understand, and what we are trying to impress upon ourselves, upon others, that the object of Ramadan, which the whole ummah has generally understood, and our whole life, and what we have understood, who is a pious person? One who makes lot of ibadah, one who stays awake the whole night, lot of Quran Sharif, zikr, tilawat, etc. We call that person a pious person who goes every year for hajj, umrah. They also umrah on umrah, tawaf on tawaf, all that a person makes. But the Quran does not say that is a pious person. The Quran says a pious person is the one with taqwa. And what does taqwa mean? A person who gives up guna. A person who stays away from guna, in the terms of the Quran, that is a pious person. In awliya, only friends of Allah إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ. Only the muttaqeen. Allah didn't say إِلَّا الْعَابِدُونَ. Allah Ta'ala didn't say إِلَّا الْمُسَلُّونَ or إِلَّا الصَّائِمُونَ. But إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ, the ones who have got taqwa, they are the friends of Allah. In another ayat, Allah says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The person who has got the most taqwa, أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most taqwa is the most honorable and virtuous in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. In the Hadith Sharif, it has been made even more explicit. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, ittaqil maharim, stay away from all haram things. Takun a'bad al-nas, you will be the one who is a'bad, the one who has made the most ibadat. Though you made no ibadat, only your faras, sunnat-e-mu'akkada and wajib. Wajib, faras, wajib, sunnat-e-mu'akkada. And you didn't do no other nafil ibadat. But what is it that you will be, that ittaqil maharim, takun a'bad al-nas, you will be the one that has made the most ibadat. Allah. Our Shaykh, this here, Hazrat explains in his beautiful ways that there is no owner of a business, a factory, etc., who tells his workers, don't work, and those who don't work, I'll give you the most wages. Nobody will say that, how can you say that? But Allah is saying that. And what don't work, what work mustn't you do? Guna. Guna is also work. So don't do that work of guna. And Allah says, I'll give you the most wages, the highest wage. So, and to make it more clearer, Hadrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that 1,000 years of tahajjud cannot equal to, of you giving up one guna. You give up one guna is more better than 1,000 years of tahajjud. With ibadat also, many hadith, etc., Quran is explicit, you reach Allah Ta'ala with ibadat. But by giving up one guna, you reach Allah so much more faster and so much more easier than by ibadat. Ibadat is like you are going on a tortoise space and making, by giving up guna, not even jet speed, speed, you are going much more faster to Allah Ta'ala. And this Allah says for the month of Ramadan, the whole object of the month of Ramadan, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And again, this now, yeah, Allah is again putting an indication, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا, that just for a few days, go through this practice of gaining taqwa, of giving up guna, it will become your nature forever. And especially if you do it for 40 days, because the child that is formed in the mother's womb is in 3 40-day periods. It is from here that Buzurgs have said 3 chillas in a person. 1 chilla has got a great effect, 40 days in making the habit in a person. And if you do it for 3 chillas, then that child that was owned, that was napaki. First it was sperm. Then it became again napak, blood. Then it just became a flesh of, a piece of flesh. Then it just, then bones came. Then it took its shape. But when did it get life? After 3 periods of 40 days. And now when life came, then see the child, what and what he does in his life when he comes in this world. So if we also go through this period and stay by our mashayikh, first, a lot of time they used to require, but now Buzurg say at least just 40 days. Spend 1 40-day period by your shaykh at least. And inshallah, this quality will come, all these qualities will come. So that is the purpose of this month of Ramadan. For that is kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Roza is for that. So if we just keeping rozas for the sake of rozas, our faras will be done, alhamdulillah. This will be like a person who is doing business and is selling cost to cost. That person will be the busiest man in town because nobody can compare with his prices. He's selling at cost. But he'll only be busy perhaps for a day, at the most a few days. And then he'll be out of business. Because how, well, you can't carry on business. So if we're only doing faras, that is why we also go out of business. Many people, they start their Ramzan, Taraweeh 2-3 nights, and then they're out of business. They read 1-2 suparas, and they're out of business. Because they're not making a profit. And the profit of the roza is to acquire taqwa. And wallah, a person who acquires this taqwa by giving up guna, you yourself will feel that noor in your heart. Allah. And your ibadat's noor also comes, but that takes a long time. And this noor comes very quickly, and a great amount of noor by giving up gunas. Because ibadah generally, people enjoy it. If anywhere you go, your own, you stayed at home, you went to for Umrah, Haramain Sharifain, you went in Jamaat, you stayed in the Khanqah, and you made lot of ibadah. Each day you feel nice. Today, whole night we should make ibadah, and especially collective ibadah. If you make Qiyam al-Layl or with Jamaat, every person, you feel nice about it. And du'as used to be made, and people used to cry in the du'as. Everyone will feel nice. But to give up one guna, that is very hard. Okay. Any guna, you haven't got a beard or you haven't got a sunnat beard. And to make it sunnat now, even just to hear it, you feel hard. Okay. You don't like to hear it also. Trousers below the ankle, you don't like to hear about it also. And to lift it up also, it's very, very hard. But nazri, looking at strange woman or mixing with woman, many of us in our Hadhrat-i Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, the parda ayat hasn't come down in the Gujarati's Quran Sharif. That for them there is no parda ayat, there is no parda for them. And for us, when a boy comes and propose also, we say he must be so homely that he walks in from the front door, he can walk out of the back door. Mm-hmm. In other words, he'll meet with everyone, speak with everyone, his sisters-in-laws, with everyone he speaks and he meets. That we regard as good akhlaq. And how many cases we have that when somebody decides to make proper shari'i parda, one is kana parda, cockeyed parda. That cockeyed parda with who you feel like, you make parda. That cousin of yours who doesn't look so nice, parda from him. That there, you know, is 100% Quran Sharif. But the one that looks nice, you know, how's it, our society, we can't, we have to mix and we have to talk. So not that kind parda. Proper parda, shari'i parda. There, how many of us are faltering? Good people. Learned people, but yeah, we are faltering. And now it to go and put a shari'i parda. What a big, it's not easy, it's a big mujahada to bring it. But a person who will do it, that person will become a great wali of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So this is what this month. So the object of this month, if we can understand. And therefore, if a person will come to this khanqah, to our Hadhrat Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi silsila of khanqahs, if his tabiat is of ibadat, he will perhaps get disappointed in these khanqahs, that he won't find that amount of ibadat there. In fact, when Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali wrote his kitab, Akabir Ki Ramadan, he wrote to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali to give his ma'amulats. Hazrat Sayyid has no ma'amulats. Yeah, there wasn't all long, long ibadat and that. The main wazifa, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali's khanqah, is the biggest wazifa to give up guna. Which our Shaykh Damat Barakatum has proven so beautifully in a poem that La ilaha muqaddam hai kalma-i tawheed mein. That in the kalima tawheed is first La ilaha. That means first giving up all the gunas. Take out ghairullah from the heart. Take it out from the heart. That is the first thing. When you do that, immediately illallah. Allah comes into your heart. Immediately. Which Hazrat says in the next line, ghair-e haq jab jaye hai. Ghair-e haq, all gunas, all falsehood, all trust on anyone besides Allah. When this goes out, haq dil mein aa jaye. Immediately the haq Allah comes into your heart. And then that person will feel, when he has made this connection, when Allah has come in his heart, ek tumse kya muhabbat ho gayi. When I got your love, when you came in my heart, oh Allah, sari dunya hi se nafrat ho gayi. I became disinclined, disillusioned with the whole world. Now you'll do your business, you'll still stay with your family, you'll do everything, but your heart won't be anymore on those things. Now your condition will be dast bakar dil bayar. Your hands will be in your work, doing your work, but your heart will be connected with Allah Ta'ala. Now your connection with Allah Ta'ala, ishq mein zillat bhi izzat ho gayi. And when this will happen in this love of Allah, then this now people will regard you, oh, he's a lost case, and he doesn't know what's happened. Why doesn't he do? Yesterday one of our friends' wives wrote a letter, and she said all her friends wanted to dress how she used to dress before, and meet with them how before. So everyone will want that, love again. What happened to you? Why you changed like this? But what will happen to you? Ishq mein zillat bhi izzat ho gayi. Li faqiri baadshahat ho gayi. You chose to be a pauper, but Allah made you a king. من تواضع لله رفعه الله. He who humbles himself for Allah, Allah raises that person. So what we have to do really is we have to give up sin. We have to give up guna. And everyone, if he can identify one of his gunas, which particular guna, like Judge Akbar Allahabadi says, when my eyes fell on my heart, I found it to be a dustbin full of dirt. This is when a person sees, but which is the worst dirt? Try and take out one at least. And the easiest way also is you find the love of Allah. Allah will remove all the dirt one time. Allah doesn't need that. Allah has to remove one guna at a time. That's from our side. But when Allah's muhabbat comes, and Allah's muhabbat comes on many things, you just get the muhabbat, the love of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah will purify your heart. And when Allah is going to purify it, who can purify it? How? Allah will purify it. And Allah will make that heart worthy of coming into. To find the love of Allah Ta'ala, Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi has written this instance, which our Shaykh quotes many times, and that one ordinary person became the friend of the king, and that also, how to become the friend is also ajeeb. Shah Jahan, the king of India, once he was a young boy, and he kept two doves, pigeons with him always on his shoulder. So he went to a fair, like we have the rain show, all fairs. He went there and he wanted to drink water from a tap. So he told, there was a young girl there. So he told this girl, just keep these birds for me, my doves. I just want to drink water. So she kept it. He drank water. He went to fetch his birds again. One bird was gone. It flew away. So he asked, where is it? She said, in a simple way, innocent way, it flew away. So he became angry because he loved it. It must have been very expensive birds too. So he said, how did it fly away? So she let the other one fly. Like this, it flew away. On that, he fell in love with her. He married her and he built the Taj Mahal for her, which is one of the wonders of the world. So just on that, he fell in love with her. So Allah will fall in love with a person on small, small things. Those occasions which come, if we look after them, and Allah falls in love. For example, Allah, Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِ الْعَارِفِينَ. Allah looks at the hearts of His beloved, His awliya. And whose muhabbat Allah finds in there, Allah makes direct muhabbat with those people. So that is an easy way. Like that Allah is, we can't see Allah, and a person won't know how to please Allah. What must I do to make Allah happy? Like we got our Sharia, but we don't, but yeah, one way you, and a person, a wali of Allah, to make him happy is easy. Just make him happy, and Allah becomes happy. And how happy? The opposite of it, understand how happy. Man aadha li waliyan, faqad aadhantuhu bil harb. Allah says, a person who hurts a wali of mine, I declare war on that person. So on the opposite, if you make friends, and you, then how much of love won't Allah make with you? For example, wajabat muhabbati lil mutahabbin fiyya. Allah says, I declare my muhabbat is compulsory, wajib for those people who love one another for my sake. If you love your shaykh, for example, solely for Allah's sake, Allah says, I declare my muhabbat for you. Like we are sitting here, if it is solely for Allah's pleasure, and we want to get closest to Allah, Allah declares His muhabbat for such people. And for those people who go and visit one another for the pleasure of Allah, Allah declares His muhabbat. Like that, there are many. So if we get the love of Allah, Allah purifies that heart. And then Allah comes into that heart. And then Allah is in that heart, you won't have to ask somebody that is Allah in my heart now. It will be like Khaja Azizul Hasan Sahib Madzub Rahmatullah Ali asked Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, when Allah comes in your heart, nisbat ma'allah, ta'alluq, when the noor of iman comes in the heart, then will you know it or will you have to ask somebody? So what a beautiful reply Maulana gave. Hadrat said that Khaja Sahib, when you became baligh, physically mature, did you have to go and ask your father that am I baligh now? Or you have to ask your elder brother, am I baligh now? Or you knew it yourself, you are baligh. You know it yourself, now you are matured. And its signs of it are very clear after that. Your friends change now. Now you no more play with that small children used to play top and fly kite and marbles. Now you're not interested in that. Now you look for other big boys now. Now you can't sit with small boys. Now you say, these are all small boys. I don't keep friends with small boys. Now you became a big boy now. Your whole friends change. Everything of yours changed. Now you see, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, when he was small, his mother should remind him that when he was small, when he had to clean his nose, he should take his sleeve and clean it like this. But now when you are a big boy, now you baligh, now you want a hanky. It must be white. And it must be perfumed also. You put attar also. Now you are baligh, you are changed. Now you're looking in the mirror all the time. Before you weren't even worried how you look. And now you are looking in the mirror, your hair all the time. If you're wearing topi also, you're putting it this way, that way all the time. You are baligh. The minute you become baligh in the love of Allah, then you'll see your whole life will change. Now you'll see you're no more interested in newspapers and in news and TV and all other things. Now your Quran you start enjoying, dhikr you start enjoying. Your friends change now. Now you want the righteous, the pious. Your whole nature changes now. So this, when this comes to a person, it's a natural thing, and he'll see his whole life change, and he'll see his enjoy. The more he's alone, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when Nabuwat was coming close, before that Allah made to be alone, that Allah made it beloved to him. And for that, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should go to the cave of Hira. For how long? Till his provision finished up. For 40 days at a time, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should go and stay. When Wilayat is going to come, before that, you see now you don't like to mix and talk with people. You prefer to be alone all the time. And your Quran you start enjoying. Dhikrullah you start enjoying. So this is the thing that a person has to get from Ramzan. And a person, there are two ways of getting it. One is you purify your heart, which is a difficult way, a long process. Easy way, you find the love of Allah. And then Allah will purify your heart. And when Allah comes in that heart, Allah will see nobody else comes that in that heart. Harim-e dil ke apne e Ahmad paas ba rehna. Maulana Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Pratapgari Rahmatullah Ali says, oh, harim means the very sacred part of a house where only the women are allowed to stay. No stranger is allowed to come in there. In the Islamic housing system, our housing is now open kitchen scheme where the woman must be advertised, all must see her walking around, everything. But in the Islamic system, the harem is that place where no stranger is ever allowed to come in. So, harem-e dil, the harem of the heart, like that he says that see that nobody else must look after your heart now. And see that koi ghair na aajai, koi paas na aajai. No stranger must come in my heart now. And no other person must come in my heart. When Allah comes in that heart, Allah protects that heart. Now you'll see automatically, even if you want to commit guna, Allah won't let the guna happen. Your desires, your nafs is still there. You will want to commit. Allah will break all your plans. You have made bookings, and when you go for there, they say, no, we gave it away to you. You fight with them, but they, for some reason they gave it away. Your car breaks down on the way. You go to the airport, your ticket, something they find a fault, they send you away. Allah won't let the guna happen now. Allah will protect you. So that is in this month, that taqwa, that is the purpose. For that, in this roza, we keep our rozas, which one is what we call a shari'i roza, according to shariat. Don't eat, don't drink, and don't satisfy your sexual desires. That is now a shari'i roza. And that, alhamdulillah, we all do. That is now doing business, buying and selling at cost. But now you have to add your profit now. And then you add your overheads also. And then you add so many more things also. You inflate your price. All the time you're inflating. So six things Allah wants, we must add on in the price. Roza of the eyes also. That is one big, big important thing. That keep roza of the eyes. Don't look at anything undesirable. At just for this ayyami ma'adudat. And then you'll see it's your nature, not your second nature. It will be your nature. For the rest of the year, for the rest of your life, to look at haram will become difficult for you. And when you look at haram, you will feel so bad, you'll make immediately tawbah. And you'll make so strong tawbah. And you'll be shocked what strength Allah will give you to protect your eyes. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, they were going from Phulpur, where Hazrat was, Hazrat's masjid, right in the jungle. It was a small, hardly a village, just a masjid in a jungle. And where Hazrat Maulana Phulpuri used to teach Bukhari Sharif, used to go on horseback. And he used to read Quran Sharif all the way where he was, used to go. And he used to pass the town also as when he used to go. Also, when he used to read Quran Sharif, when he passes places where dirt was collected, napaki, of the cows, the waste of the cows, etc., he should stop reading. He should say there is a fear of losing your iman if you read Quran in a dirty place. And today, Quran Sharif, we read, we're talking with one another, and we're doing everything else also, busy with the cell phone also, and Quran also is carrying on. No, that should not be the case. Adab of the Quran Sharif. So one day, Hazrat says, a very beautiful girl came, and we all were convinced Hazrat will look today. There is no way he's not going to see. This is now impossible. He says, we saw Hazrat not one, but also put his glance that side. Allah will make it so easy, no matter what temptation will come, Allah will protect you, if Allah comes in the heart. So just do this practice, and this little practice, whatever it is, if you learn how to change the wheel of your car, and you have a puncture, you can manage it slowly, even if you're an old man, even if you're a heart patient, even if it's a woman, though a woman shouldn't be driving, but even if she has to do it, slowly she'll be able to do it. But if you don't know how to do it, and then start using your own brains now, and you get round up some 10, 20 people to lift the car up for you, and you take a chisel and a hammer and to hit the bolts off, and you're hitting them off, what a big mess you'll make, and you'll make the whole position with. A simple thing, your buttons, if you know how to take them off, so easy. But if you don't, and you pull like small children sometimes, they don't want to loosen the button, they want to pull. They tear the whole kurta, and they don't get it. Or you got a zip, so easy, just pull the zip down. But if you don't know, and you want to pull at it, what a big mess, and you won't succeed. Like that, to look after the eyes, it looks so hard. But just learn the method, and you'll see it's so easy after that. And it's just this learning this method, Allah said, Ayyamun Ma'adudat, just for a few days, which in our time, our Buzurg say, 40 days spent with your Shaykh, and inshallah you'll see that now your eyes to look after them will become so easy. So this is one big thing which many of us find. And our Shaykh Damat Barakat, and many people admit, they have become Shaykhul Hadith. They're running big, big madrasas. 80-year-old, Hazrat says, one time Hazrat was in India, in the bus, and a Hindu man was sitting right in front. And there was a young girl, and with his not only eyes open, his mouth was also open, gaping at this girl here. And the conductor say, Chacha, ticket lelo. Why? Chacha is in a different world. He's not listening at all. And then he shook him, Chacha, ticket lelo. He's not listening, he's just gaping with his mouth open, and his eyes also open. He's gaping at her. So this bimari, a person is tahajjud guzar, without exaggeration. A person is pious in every way, but this disease won't go till you don't work to take it out. Otherwise you can be an 80-year-old man, you can't do anything. Even if that girl come and sit in your lap, you, what can you do? You can't do anything. But to look, this guna doesn't go. And in your khyali plow, which you are cooking, cooking that plow in your brains all the time, you'll be cooking all that, and you'll be losing out. And guna is like you got a bucket, which you are filling with milk, with valuable things, but it's got a hole. Everything just goes out. So if you make lot of ibadat also, good ibadat with sincerity, but you are committing guna also, it's all just going out. So that is one roza we have to keep. Keep roza of the tongue also. This is such a dangerous thing. In this little while, let it suffice. With this tongue, you can say that word which you shouldn't say to your wife, and just repeat it 3 times. Even in jokes, you repeat it, and your whole life will be completely destroyed. Your deen, your dunya, your akhirat will be destroyed. And what is it? Just the tongue. And Allah has protected the tongue, put it between the two jaws, which are the two regiments of an army, between 32 teeth, all the policemen, and they are all armed with different weapons. Some teeth are sharp, some are like the molars at the back, they crush. So all that those police are armed with, so that your tongue is the only part of the body Allah kept without a bone. an indication that speaks soft words, kind words from you. Don't use hard words. So roza of the tongue. Do it ayyam ma'dudat. For the rest of the year, the rest of your life, inshallah, you will see that your tongue is under control. How many? It comes in the hadith. La tatakallam bi kalamin ta'tadhiru minhu ghadan. Don't speak such a word that tomorrow you have to go and ask maaf again. And you have, I'm sorry I said that. I shouldn't have said it. In the spur of the moment, you say so many things. And then you phone up again and you ask, you have to go. You ask somebody, please make me maaf. I shouldn't have said that. But the wife, how many times what we say? So control of the tongue. A person who is blessed, whole lot of fazilat for the person who controls his tongue has come in the hadith sharif. And Maulana Inam al-Hassan Sahib rahmatullah Ali said, live your life like Ramzan, your mort will come like Eid. So if we live our Ramzan correctly, and the real Eid of a person is not wearing new clothes, not big pots and all sweet meats and delicacies, is our islah took place. We found our Allah, that is our Eid. That is the celebration of Eid. So the roza of the tongue, then roza of the ears. What is haram to speak is haram to hear also. And it is equally haram, not less. If to make ghibat, backbiting, what a big guna. To make the ghibat is haram, to listen to the ghibat, nobody can make if there are no listeners. Till you haven't got an audience, you can't backbite about somebody. So the audience is an accomplice to the crime, and is an accessory, and is equally guilty as the person who commits the crime also. So to listen to ghibat, this is so much. Music, and let this be sufficed with, let's see the music on our cell phones. We don't change the ringing tone. We have all excuses, but agar tu hi na chahe to baate hazar hai. If you don't want to, you'll have 1,000 excuses. Just to give you an extreme example of this, last year Ramzan in Haram of Medina Sharif, a person with a musical tone on his cell phone was very close to the imam. And in the namaz, his cell phone rang when the music went off. And the imam's mic, which are very powerful, it caught it, and that mic took that music to the whole masjid. Goonj rahe the puri masjid mein. Logo ki cheekhe nikal gaye. People screamed out, what is happening today in Medina Sharif? Music, not on the cell phone, on the imam's mic, music is coming. This is how the anime, we don't realize how they are hitting us under the belt. And we are the ones promoting it. We have become the agents of the enemy against Islam and against our deen, against the sanctity of Masjid al-Nabawi. So how important is it? So the ears listening to that music on there, all the other types of music, all ghibat, backbiting, etc., slander, to listen to it is also haram. Then we must keep roza of the other limbs of the body, the hands, the legs, the hands, making a signature. Don't just sign anywhere. That signature, you fired somebody, you signed. Whether it is justified or not, you took somebody's rosy away. With that hand of yours, you didn't speak a word, but just that signature of yours, you have made people now living, bewas, and living yatims, you made with their parents living, and with the husband living, you made them bewa and you made them yatim. How many other things? In your driving, you are going. Which route you are taking in driving, using your hands, using your eyes, using your legs, which route you are taking, why are you taking that route, who you want to see on that route, what scenes you want to see on that route, all those things. So control your limbs also, inshallah, whole life you will be able to control it. Then another big roza is of the heart. That means the thoughts of a person. In there particularly, the biggest guna, one is wasawis, all funny thoughts we get. That is also, go learn, and we discuss that in detail. And those who want to, get the cassettes and listen to it. And it is discussed in detail how to control our thoughts. Now, our Sheikh's kitab also, which is translated in English, evil thoughts and their remedy. All these things are there, but wasawis are not so dangerous. More dangerous, much more dangerous than wasawis, are also those thoughts which are of pride. And of pride, there are two types. One is takabbur, that I'm better than the next person. A person who has one bit of this, he won't get the fragrance of Jannah also, according to the hadith. And the fragrance of Jannah will go 500 years out of Jannah. So you won't come a journey of even 500 years by of Jannah. because of this pride that a person has got. And this pride keeps on coming repeatedly, takes out its ugly head in on a person all the time. You hardly did anything, and there shaitan will come. Your nafs will tell you, you are very good. You didn't do this. Look at what they did, what they are doing. Here also in the Khanqa a person will come. A person goes in Jamaat, pride comes. He goes for Umrah in the Khanqa. Anywhere, pride will come. Shaitan first doesn't let you change your life, let you live a reckless, sinful life. And in there, then when you want to make Tawbah, how difficult it is. Shaitan comes and he doesn't allow you. And how many do make Tawbah? Again Shaitan takes them away. Again they make Tawbah. Again Shaitan takes them away. Ask the drug addicts, ask smokers, ask alcoholics, how much Shaitan takes them away again. But if you do come and you make your ibadat, now Shaitan won't let you do it with ikhlas. Now he let you do it for show. You even overcame that hurdle. Now you got ikhlas also. What a great thing. And now you made your ibadat. Now shaitan will come again. The final thing, that you are very good. You are very pious now. There he hits you again. And you think that I'm better than the other people now. That all my friends, I left them one side. Look at me. On this a person gets pride, which is not even of his choice. All my friends have passed away. Now when I look around, I don't say, I'm very good, I'm still living. It's not your choice also. That was a sole gift from Allah, that how long your life is. And now you stay on that also, you're thinking that you are something. And if you got namaz in your life and pride comes because of that, anything. Or because of, I go to Khanqa, I go in Jamaat, I go for Umrah every year. How many people? I don't ever miss a Jalsa. All these things bring pride in people. So this pride is a killer disease. And another type of pride in Shariat is called Ujab. And ujab means, not like one friend told me, ta'ajjub. It's not ta'ajjub, it's ujab. Pride. So what is this pride? That you don't think anyone is bad, but I'm good. And just to understand this, so simple, which Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, nek banna faraz hai. To become nek is faraz. All the time. Apne aap ko nek samajna haram hai. But the minute you think, I'm good, I'm all right. How many of us say, well, like that, we all right, we are gunegar, but we are all right. The minute you think you're all right, you're gone. And you'll never make your islah, because you're thinking you're all right. And every insan does make guna, so, but now I'm already all right. And remember that ball you throw up, according to the weight of the ball and the power you threw it up, it goes up. And as long as it goes up, it's a talib. It is going higher and higher. The minute it reaches its climax, it doesn't stay there. Immediately it starts coming down again. So if we are being a talib, we are eager to progress, we'll be going up. But the minute you say, I'm all right, that's now you have reached your climax. And you'll never stay there. Wo salih kya re, wo muslih kya hoga? Even the sheikh himself, if he thinks that now I'm all right, forget him making islah of other people, wo muslih kya hoga, wo salih bhi nahi rahega. He won't even remain nek himself, forget making other people nek. So that is now the contentment, qani', a person who is content with his condition. And then what happens then when you start falling down? Then you become a naqid. You become a criticizer. You're finding fault in all other people. Now even your thoughts, you in namaz also, that person is like this, this person is like that. You're making tilawat also, wherever you are. Now then all worst evil things come in yourself. So there is a terrible guna of the heart of our thoughts. Jealousy, another terrible guna. It burns a person more faster than fire burns wood and rust finishes iron. The jealousy burns the heart totally and all our good deeds. So these are the things that we have to remedy in Ramadan. This is the purpose of the month of Ramadan, that this islah of ours takes place. And then from the thoughts, then the other sixth roza is the food that we eat. Though we don't eat in, the person saves himself from halal food the whole day. But during the day he's consuming haram. He doesn't look at his wife with lust. It's not permitted in roza, but he's looking at other women. And he's talking and joking with other women at work, wherever. And he saved himself from halal and he went and fall in haram. This is what is called, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali calls it, kilabi taqwa. Taqwa of a dog. What is the dog's taqwa? When he urinates, he picks up his one leg high up, so that the urine drops mustn't touch his body. So the taqwa he's got. I must stay park, I mustn't become napak. But immediately after that he goes and eat dirt with his mouth. From the back, he wants to be very park. And with his mouth, there he eats all dirt and filth. So like that also, we save ourselves. We don't look at our wife with lust. And for then, that also becomes a habit for whole life. Whole life you don't look at your wife with lust. And to other women, you're looking at them, you halal what Allah gave you, that you're not consuming. And all the time haram. This becomes our nature then, such a person. Then that nature goes further. Halal, money which you got you don't use, and haram you are using. And haram, how many people say your grandchildren, viyajna, they are interest. And they say they are more enjoyable, because viyaj is more enjoyable. The interest, the haram, al-insanu harisun fima munia. What he has made haram, that is by nature, a person loves those things. So a person, we stay away from so many halal things, and we fall in haram. So food also, the whole day we didn't eat. And if you are opening our roza, making sihri, let it make sure there are three conditions. It must be halal, there mustn't be any doubt in it, and it must not be unhealthy food. Eat healthy food. We all know that if you eat, if you drink Zamzam of Makkah and you grow up on the Zamzam of Makkah, you'll be a Makki. And on the Khajur of Medina Sharif, if you grow up, you'll be a Madani. And with junk food, if you nourish yourself, you'll be a junkie. You are what you eat is a correct statement. So if you're eating junk food, then you're a junkie. So you, if the cap fits, you'll have to wear it. If you're eating junk food, you're a junkie. And today that has become the norm for everyone to eat junk food. Good, healthy food is also extremely important. And then from food goes the next thing. Adam alayhi salatu was salam, shaitan couldn't get. And shaitan, he's such a psychologist also. And he's such a shrewd person also. He knows the finer details of every Nabi Shariat also. Like Maulana, normally don't just give a masala. If there is a mufti, refer them. Because they are what we call the fine apparent juziyat. Small, small matters which your mind doesn't go to. Those things change the whole masala. Leave it to a mufti who are in this field all the time. But, and shaitan was aware of all the juziyat, all the fine print of all the shariats also. So he knew how to get Adam alayhi salam. What did he make? Like, when somebody told a person that he forced him, you have to do one of three things. You drink wine, you commit adultery, or you commit murder. He said, murder is a terrible guna. Adultery is terrible, I can't do. Wine is all right. I'll just drink it and now I'll get out of my problem. This person is forcing me. When he drank wine, what happened? His head went. He committed adultery. From there the child was born, he murdered the child. So what we eat, that has an effect on everything else. So therefore, see that we eat the right food. Healthy food, and there is no doubt, and holds. And in legal, halal food, there are two things. The food must be halal, the money with which you buy it must also be halal. One person went to a butcher and said, are you sure your meat is halal? He asked him in return, you sure your money is halal? Hey, you worried of my meat is halal, what I'm selling is your money halal. So the money also must be halal, that food also. And today, in 1976, how long ago? We were in Jamaat in Turkey. And we found out all the abattoirs were run by Jewish people. For what are they running it? Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, when he came in authority, the first thing he did, there were a group of 40 people. Whenever a notorious bad ruler came, they made baddua. He got wiped out. When he came, the first thing he made the da'wat and he put haram in their mouth. And then he told them, now I'm safe from their badduas. Their duas won't affect me anymore. So food is so important. So therefore, let us see that our food is right. And from that food, what happened when he ate it? The effect of it, the clothes fell off their body. Today our clothes have fallen out. Look at our girls, look at our boys. The food we are eating, we're not worried. And therefore the clothes have fallen off the body. And today the height of the stupidity, you pay much more for less clothing. For a small panty, how much will a woman pay? And if it's G-string, then even how much more she has to pay. For nothing, you are paying more. So this is what they have brought us. And yet we are proud for all those things. So therefore we came on to clothing. So briefly, this was what we had discussed. And this is the object of Ramadan, if we can understand. It's not lot of ibadat, but if we can give up guna, then make ibadat, then the guna. When you first close the hole in your pocket. When the holes are closed, now fill it up. Now it will get full. Little, so one drop your bucket will get full. But if you put it under the Niagara Falls with a bottomless bucket, what's going to come in that bucket? Nothing. So first close the holes. That is the object of Ramadan. Close the hole. Then see your ibadat, how it takes you to Allah. And then see the benefit of, otherwise we know, Ramzans have come and gone. We took one step front in Ramzan, we took 10 steps back again, back after Ramzan again. Because those holes are open. It's not even holes, the whole bucket hasn't got a bottom. So many of our gunas, first remedy that. So that is the object of this month of Ramadan and of the Khanqa really, and which our Shaykh emphasizes over and over. Gunao ko chhod do, gunao ko chhod do, gunao ko chhod do. This is the most important thing. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Let us understand for what Ramadan is and achieve the object of Ramadan. In that we have discussed a few major gunas, common gunas. The beard, for example. A person is in tahajjud but is in guna. Your lover has come with beautiful presents but has come in such a dress that you don't want to look at your lover. In the way the lover has come dressed. Trousers below the ankles. Pride, jealousy. These are the things which are common amongst most of us. And also, yeah, we try and speak not of gunas of people who are not here. If the doctor puts his finger on the pulse of another patient, and not his patient here, what's the use? Your patients, what I am guilty of, what we are guilty of, what we are involved in, put your finger on the pulse and treat ourselves. We need the treatment. And also, if there is a cancer widespread, and you're not treating them, all the top doctors, they're worried about the people whose noses are running. That time, what you have to treat? The people who have got cancer. Treat those diseases. Don't treat the person whose nose is running, who's got a little running nose, a flu, little bit. Treat the people with the major. These are our major diseases. Treat them. We don't like it. But this is what we have to do. May Allah give us all tawfiq, guide us to righteousness.